This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. Hey, everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at themeateater.com. Hope to see you at the show.
You're listening to another Big Buck Breakdown,
powered by the Element Podcast and YouTube channel.
What's up, y'all? We are fresh off of a trip to South Dakota that was not refreshing. There was not a lot of refreshness. However, we got on them bucks, and today we're going to talk to old T. Jones about his big buck from South Dakota. So, Tyler, the cat's out of the bag. You shot a big buck in South Dakota.
I did.
Yeah.
I did, man.
Yeah.
So, a 10-point.
That gummit. What day did you shoot this deer on of the hunt, like official season day?
I think it was like five.
Day five,
or
I think
four?
The morning of day four, I believe four. It was. Yeah, I've been running.
Oh, yeah, because it's October 4th.
Yeah, I've been going through all the stories and kind of making a highlight recently, so I kind of got a pretty good idea of the timeline.
You probably have a better idea than I do.
I got a real good idea right now. I can help you with some stuff. And real quick, guys, this is a Big Buck Breakdown, and we wanted to tell you actually about a Big Buck video that's out right now. Tyler not only slayed a giant in South Dakota, but last year on December 28th, he smoked a legit Kansas public land buck as well. So if you haven't, go over to the YouTube channel, watch that video, and tell us what you think about that, because it is pretty sweet. Tyler, you have some big shoes to fill, not only because you wear a size 14, but because last year you shot $5. This year you're well on your way to doing possibly better than that, because you're actually you know, day for day, doing better than you did last year, which is wild. However, we're going to talk about buck two of the 2021 season. Tyler, tell me about the setup on October 4th to go in and kill this big buck.
Okay, so, you know, Eric and I hunted several days together, starting out in a spot that was a really cool spot. It's actually, this is a weird deal that I don't know, I kind of have these weird deals like this, but I like want to go back and kill a deer in that spot. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I have this, like, it just sets up awesome, and it's in this kind of mountainous terrain almost, where it's like, I feel like what I figured out there is pretty cool, and I want to kill a deer on that pattern that I figured out. So, like, I'm really excited. I'll be thinking about that for the next year at least, and maybe several years if we don't actually go back there to hunt that same spot. But we did that a few days. We got a kind of a wind change one day that started to happen for us because we had so much rain and stuff early on. Wind finally started to change, I guess the night of the 3rd or something, and we had secretly scouted out some small ag food plot type stuff that had been couldn't really see from the road very well, but we had, you know, we have the eagle eye right here next to me that sees everything. And he was like, oh, I think I see a top of a corn stalk from 600 yards away. And we were like, put the binos up. Yes, we do, you know. So anyway, we knew that there was some ag there. And I thought, man, there's got to be – we also knew there were bucks in the area. And so I was like, I know there's got to be – those deer are not just living on – you know, forbs and stuff and other food sources, because this is a big, you know, expanse of habitat, bedding habitat especially. I was like, they got to be using that too. And in the morning, this works out to where I can have a wind, which I thought the wind was going to be more of a 90-degree wind to the direction the deer were coming from. Ended up being probably closer to like 70 or something degrees off of them. So what I would probably consider just off wind, a lot of people like to talk about this just off wind, really it can't be super close. If it's not close to 90 degrees, you're probably still going to get smelled, you know, especially on like a not so windy day where it's like blowing like, you know, less than 10 but more than 4 or 5 or whatever. And so anyway, I'm setting up in this spot that I'm expecting deer to come into bedding that morning, and it looks like just a big kind of expanse of willows more than anything, you know, like it's just this flat area, which is a lot different than what we've been hunting. We've been going, you know, nearly 3/4 of a mile in, just 300 foot elevation down, you know, whatever, and really working hard in and out. And this is just a flat place. It's not far from the road, really. And it's just thick. And we get in there, and, like, the navigation's pretty tough. You know, I was able to get use my ONX to help me out. If you know, like I said, navigate button on the app that's, like, that you can press twice. If you press it once, it takes you to your spot and centers you up where you're actually at. If you press it twice, it shows this, like, navigation, which way your phone is facing, you know what I mean? So I was using that to help me get to what I had picked out, which was one little kind of clear spot that I could see on the map, and right, like, there's a transition line of where it transitions from, like, some sort of, you know, fauna that I think is willows of sorts to another one that's like, well, I think is willows as well, possibly, but there may be different sizes, like, you know, got burned or cut or whatever at different years. But you can see that line. It leads right to this kind of opening. That's a small opening, and looks like there's some bigger trees in there. So when we get there, it looks great. Like, it's dark. It's super dark. We got up early, made sure to get in there, give ourselves time. Plus, you know, it was not too far off the road. So I gave myself plenty of time. Get in there. There's big willows is what most of these trees are. And then whatever, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's, you know, floods a lot or what, but this little area doesn't have little willows in it as thick. And so it's got a lot of different forbs, goldenrod, and, you know, some willows and some other things that, you know, they'll browse on. And we're sitting there kind of waiting on it to get light. And it, I can't remember if I heard them first or I looked up and saw them. I think I looked up and saw them. But I might have heard them first. But I saw two does coming in. They couldn't see them till they were 40 yards probably, you know. Well, actually, I saw the does about 60 or 70, I think. That was the first I could see them. Just barely got a glimpse of them. So I told Eric. He starts filming them. And they come in to like 20, 25 yards, one of them. And they worked right down the edge of these willows, right where I had seen on the aerial that, and assumed that they would work down that edge coming back to bedding that morning. And we filmed them for about 10 minutes, and I start hearing something kind of out in front of me, just off, a little bit closer to my wind, actually, but still kind of using the same transition line, coming from the same direction. And I'm like, you can see me. I watched it on the GoPro yesterday. You can see me, like, I keep looking over there for like a minute. And I would look over there, then I kind of like look back at these does and make sure, you know, that everything was good there. And I hear it again. I look back over there. And finally, about the third time I looked, I'm sitting there looking hard. I'm like, you can tell I know something. I heard something for sure, you know, at this point. And I'm looking hard, and all of a sudden, you can just see me go, there's a buck, shooter buck right there. And so, like, all of a sudden, the heart gets to racing, you know. And Eric, I'm kind of like guiding him through it. He hadn't seen the deer yet. So I'm like, I'm letting him know, you know, you can move or don't move. You know, here's one thing that I don't like is when I'm sitting in a tree stand with guys, and I've done this a lot over the years, so I'm not singling anybody out. But when I'm sitting in a tree with a guy and he goes, don't move, there's a deer. And then 5 minutes later, I still haven't moved. Yeah. And he's like, the doe or whatever is gone. And it's like, dude, you got to let me know when I can move. You know, like, I got to be able to see this deer. The idea is that when I can finally move enough to see the deer, then you don't have to tell me whether I can move or not, you know. So anyway, me and Eric worked that system real well. I told him when he could move, get the camera over. Okay, hold and stop, you know, that kind of thing. And the buck kind of works his way in. It happens pretty quick. And, you know, when I saw him, he was 35 yards maybe. And so he works his way in, and basically these deer are feeding heavily in there. I mean, they're getting ready to bed, but they're just packing on. I mean, you can attest to the fat layer that was on both the bucks that, you know, were killed or whatever. And anyway, so they're coming.
Wait,
in.
More bucks got killed on
there
this
were,
trip?
There were. If you follow us on Instagram, you know that. But if you don't, then you don't. Maybe.
You should.
Yeah, you should. So anyway, they're feeding heavily in there, just eating all that stuff, man. It's crazy. You know, the natural food sources that they were eating in there, and how much of it there was available to them. But basically, this deer comes in, and he gets to, there's a range or a tree I ranged at 18, and so he gets kind of comes on the back side of that, and I guessed him at I think I pretty much shot him for 20, and I tried to mac him or grunt him or whatever you want to call, and I did it pretty loud. Didn't feel like it would spook him. It wasn't like super quiet. There's a decent wind, and so I'm macking pretty loud, and he doesn't stop. And so at that point, I'm like, well, I can mac really loud, or I can just shoot him walking real slow at 20 yards, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I put it, and I have a little bit of experience with shooting deer walking. I don't love to do it, but I have done it a time or two, and I've seen it done in camp and stuff too, so I know how much a deer can move when it's walking, you know.
It's more than the average guy would think.
Exactly right. Yeah. And so I'm not saying I can tell you the exact amount. I just have a good idea. And, like, I mean, you could put it a foot ahead of where you want to shoot if a deer is walking, and you're not going to be shooting too far forward. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, it's a lot. So anyway, I basically had a tree coming up where I wouldn't be able to shoot him, so I just shot him on the walk. I just moved it over right to his shoulder and squeezed off and shot him, you know, on the walk. Probably hit him, like, seriously, like 10 or 12 inches back from where I aimed. Mm-hmm. And so it ended up being double long, shot a big old three blade. And he runs out there. Eric got footage of it, you know, got the deer in there good and everything. You can tell what he is pretty good. Ends up, the deer runs off. Basically, this deer literally runs like 20 yards. I'm like, he's going to go down right there. And he just crashes at literally 45 yards from us, dude. It was awesome. It was so cool. And so, and I also forgot to mention that as that deer gets to like 25 or so, another 8-point came out behind him. And I told Eric, I was like, there's another deer behind him, but I'm going to shoot this first one because he's a 10-point. He's
yeah.
a good one, you know. So anyway, got to watch him. He piled up at 45 yards or whatever. And then I look over at Eric, and we give like fives and stuff. And then I look back where he was, and he's standing up again, like a few yards away from where he was.
Oh no.
And I'm like, what in the world? So I start like getting ready to knock it again, and then he crashes again, and that was it. And so what was crazy is, you know, I shot him at 20 yards, but it's so thick in there, we were not able to actually find the arrow. It was a pass through.
Yeah, dude.
We looked for like 10 or 15 minutes.
That was four of us looking for the arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it was just, I really wanted to find the arrow just to kind of see what it all looked like. It helps with tracking in the future and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was unable to do that. But, man, it was just like one of those mornings where I kind of almost didn't expect much because it's a place I'd never been to. And I'm just making a big assumption in a very, like, this isn't just a rut funnel. Like, sometimes in a rut funnel, you feel like, you know, you feel like I'm sitting in a spot and this could happen because it's November 8th and deer are, you know, going to be moving through this. They can't go that way. They got to come this way. This is just a big expanse of similar, kind of almost monotonous habitat, but I was able to, you know, dig in on that map pretty good the night before and find a good spot. And then once I got in there, I adjusted my tree by about 20 yards probably, and just found a tree that I could shoot out of and stuff without having to, you know, cut down the forest and everything else that you can't do on public land. And we made it work, man. Two guys in the willow tree, and it was cool, dude. We got to celebrate. The whole crew got to come out and take pictures, and we got awesome footage, you know, because it was daytime.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to normal evening stuff that I do. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome, man. It's fun to be there for that. I wasn't feeling very good, but it made me feel better when you killed a big deer. Yeah. And that was pretty awesome, dude, just to have everybody there. It's an awesome buck, man. You know, just tell everybody a little bit about, you know, what he looks like, what he is, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, he's basically just a mainframe 10. No junk. He's not like a big 10, but he's a good, you know, 10. We thought he might be 3 years old. Yeah. You know, you just never know.
I'd actually seen that deer the day before.
Yeah.
A little bit far. I kind of set up pretty far from there, but they apparently are walking around quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I was juiced up the day before when I saw him.
Dude, we had this, like, running joke where we talked about how if you shot, like, when we first started seeing deer up there, like, man, if you shoot one of these with an arrow, it's going to just, like, absorb the arrow. They're so fat, you know? We called them pillow deer.
Yeah.
And literally the first thing I thought when I walked up on this deer was pillow deer. That was the first thing I thought, dude.
Their abdomen sit, like, 3 feet off. It's like a cow if it lays over, you know? Like, they have a big old fat belly.
He was huge, dude. Like, I don't know. I just don't know how he wouldn't be 3 years old at least, because he was just so fat, man. And you could tell he just gorged all night, man. And just, like, they're getting ready for a hard winter in South Dakota. It's a lot harder than Texas, that's for sure. Yeah. So.
Yep, for sure, man. Well, congratulations on that deer. I'm so happy to be a part of it, and just to be able to share camp with you and all the rest of the guys in South Dakota, man. It was a blast. Mm-hmm. Another big buck hits the ground, and I can't help but imagine there are more coming. Maybe soon.
Yep.
Maybe soon. So y'all be sure if you haven't and subscribe so that you can hear more about this. And go over to our YouTube channel and subscribe there as well so you can see the video format of all this stuff. Because, man, the hunt from this deer is going to be awesome. That was an awesome story about a big buck. Guys, if you haven't, you need to check out the Element YouTube channel, because we are constantly uploading new videos of big bucks from the 2021 season.
Don't forget to subscribe, and also you can check out our website for any merch or swag that you want. It helps us out tremendously. We appreciate it. Remember that, and remember, this is your Element.
Live in it.
Hey everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right, join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, Wild Game Recipes for the Grill, Smoker, Camp Stove, and Camp Fire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at the Meat Eater.com. Hope to see you at the show.